I would now like to welcome our guest, Stan Cox, research coordinator at the Land Institute and editor at Green Social Thought. Prior to that, he was a wheat geneticist at the U.S. Department of Agriculture. His books include Sick Planet, Corporate Food and Medicine, and Losing Our Cool, Uncomfortable Truths About Our Air-Conditioned World. Last year, he co-wrote How the World Breaks, Life in Catastrophe's Path from the Caribbean to Siberia, a book about natural disasters. His articles have appeared in Al Jazeera, Altnet, Counterpunch, The New York Times, The Guardian, and more. Welcome, Stan Cox.
Good to be with you, Margaret.
Okay, so Stan, in the intro at the top of the hour, we raised the issue about the relationship between hurricanes like Harvey and Irma and climate change, the health challenges that people are now facing in Houston, and likely also in Florida, the explosion of mosquitoes that will happen in Florida, but also that developers' first concern seem to be profit and seems to continue to be that, building over swamps and floodplains in both Houston and Florida. But first, I'd like to ask you, Mother Jones, Eric Holthus, wrote an article in which he said, make no mistake, these storms weren't natural. A warmer, more violent atmosphere heated up by our collective desire to ignore the fact that we live on a planet where such a devastation is possible juiced Harvey and Irma's destruction. Do you agree with that?
Yes, that's absolutely true. For one thing, the record high temperatures of the sea surface that we've been seeing fed both of these storms, put energy into them, and then the fact that when the atmosphere is warmer, it can hold a lot more water vapor also fed them. Now, you'll hear, and it's true, that greenhouse warming, at least in the near future, is not going to cause more hurricanes, but it's going to, as Eric Holthus said, juice them. And it is like, say, a baseball player taking performance-enhancing drugs. He may not get any more hits than he used to, but more of those hits are going to be home runs, and that's what we're absolutely seeing now.
Yeah, so then break that down to us in terms of, I mean, your Naples was hard hit in Florida with Irma in Florida. And you talk about your parents being at an RV park there. And Naples is known for having a lot of wealthy people. Clearly, they're not in the RV park where your parents were.
Right.
But they're also, as you say, a lot of low-income people and immigrants there. And I saw a horrific piece very, very briefly on CNN, where somebody was talking about an area, an RV area, where that was flooded, and there were a number of people were undocumented, and they were really afraid to come forward, and they were getting no help, and they have no, basically, food and water going on there. I hope we find out more about that situation. But tell us a bit about that, and also with these developers, I mean, they must know, right, when they're building in areas that are vulnerable to flooding.
That's right. And people, I'm sure a lot of people thought, Naples got the landfall. Well, that's fine. That's a playground of the rich. And it's true that pretty much all the waterfront property has been bought by people who've put mansions and yacht docks on them and so forth. But when you have an economy like that, you have a much larger population of people who have to come there and actually do the work, and a lot of them are at the other end of the economic spectrum. And once the storm has passed, the rich people, who most of them had another house in another part of the country to go to anyway, and their insurance will rebuild for them and so forth. But people living paycheck to paycheck, this kind of event is what can tip them over into long-term poverty.
Yeah.
Simply not having wherever they live, whether they rented or owned it, having that destroyed and having a much tighter rental market, then people can even end up either homeless or having to just move away somewhere else. I saw that inland from Naples, the Immokalee area, where a lot of vegetables are grown, and with a large migrant worker population, that and a lot of them living in the kind of housing that can be destroyed by wind, that things are very hard there.
Yeah, my brother and his family live in Lehigh Acres, and my nephew's place was actually flooded out, and there's still, you know, water there. They have no running water. They have no electricity, and they're being told maybe 2 weeks to a month. And my nephew has asthma, so you could imagine. Oh. I'm worried sick about all of that. But 2 years ago, likely without even thinking of a place like Irma, you and your dad wrote this article, A Rising Tide, Miami is Sinking Beneath the Sea. We only have a few minutes left, but tell us about the risk of cities like Miami and other risk areas that don't seem to bother the developers too much.
Yeah, actually, they got the tagline backwards on that. So that was my son and I who wrote that.
Oh, okay.
And it was an excerpt from our book, How the World Breaks. And that article was about how Miami faces a triple threat of flooding. Water, the rising seas in the Atlantic are flooding. You know, when you get a storm like Irma, then they increase the size of the storm surge, and so. They dodged the bullet this time, but a direct hit would be catastrophic for Miami. But behind that, there's the long-term inexorable rise of the water, not only from the Atlantic, but under Miami, where it's coming up through the porous limestone, and then you have water, continuous flow of water under Miami from the Everglades, going out to the Atlantic. And so as the Atlantic rises and puts more pressure, it backs up the whole system. And that's one reason that we're already seeing so much of this sunny day flooding in Miami. And why before too many more years, we don't know exactly how many, Miami is going to look more like the Florida Keys. It'll be a chain of some islands that are the ground that's above 10 feet above sea level, and everything else will be underwater, and the Keys by then will be gone.
Right, and people might be interested to check out this article by you and your son. Yeah, sorry about that, Stan Cox. Your son's name, Paul Cox, right?
Right.
Because in it, you talk about how Miami looked, I mean, hundreds of thousands of years ago, and you know, the differences in sea levels there. But we are, you know, Miami, we know, is at great risk. But there are other cities. I mean, look at what happened in Manhattan with Hurricane Sandy. And then Houston, isn't that basically built on a floodplain? And flying over Florida, the place in so many ways looks like fundamentally a swamp, you know, with bits of land. Just some final comments from you, Stan.
I wrote another book on air conditioning and opened the book with Southwest Florida, but it could have been in, well, I wrote about Houston also, but where it's only air conditioning that made those places even habitable. They were malarial swamps before it was possible.
Wow.
for people to live and work there. And they're just should not be that many people there. But now that there are, we're going to have to deal with it.
Absolutely. Well, hopefully we'll come back to this discussion and you'll be able to join us again. We appreciate you taking time to join us, Stan Cox.